Sometimes the sermon has a difficult tone. Sometimes the sermon has a joyous tone. And sometimes the sermon has a silly tone. Today's the latter. Show of hands if you've ever written a love letter. Okay, nice. I remember writing my first love letter. I was in the second grade. Yes, in New York, we start fast. Malachi, get no ideas, please. But her name was Mia Page, and she sat right next to me. And for some reason, I thought Mia Page was the most beautiful girl my six-year-old eyes had ever seen. So for some reason, I put and tore out page out of my composition notebook, and I wrote, "Dear Mia, I really, really like you." And I spelled really with only one L. Spelling was not my strong suit until fourth grade. "Do you like me?" And then I had, of course, the two question boxes, right? Yes, with the square, and no, the square. So while she wasn't paying attention, I slipped it right in her desk. And I waited. And then I waited some more. And then I waited again some more. And then finally I saw her open the letter. And she read it and she said, "Wow." And then she looked around. And then she looked down again. And she crumpled it up and put it in the garbage. After she did it, I said, "Mia, why did you do that? That was me. I worked hard on it." She said, "You didn't write your name on it." But I never forgot the feeling as she balled it up and threw it in the garbage. So I did not write another love letter until my sophomore year in college. And her name was Peaches. Another Brooklyn thing, but that's all right. So clearly my words were a lot more developed than "I really like you." But I wrote a nice letter telling her how I felt about her and all the things that I could not say to her. And this time I remembered to sign my name. She looked at it. She said, "Richard, I like you too. But unfortunately, I have a boyfriend." So once again, just like that paper crumpled up into the garbage. So I have not written another love letter until I met a woman who was so wonderful, I had to write one more. And I would say for the first time out of my three love letters, she actually checked the box yes. And she is sitting in the back. Thank God. See? Now, hitting one for three in baseball is not a bad day, right? You hit that over the season, it's 330. Well, I did hit a home run. Thank you, Lisa. I did. I hope you feel the same way if she said the same thing about me. But what I'm getting at is there is no greater confidence than when the person you love loves you back. And there is no greater threat to your confidence when the person you love does not love you back. When the person who you love loves you back, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a friendship between parents, siblings, whatever it may be, it gives you a strength. It gives you a resiliency. It gives you this understanding that no matter what, this person will be with me and have my back. Psalm 62 is a love letter between David and the Father. But it's played out for all of Israel to hear. So when David calls Yahweh my fortress and my salvation, my rock, what he's doing is he's reminding himself through all the troubles of life that there's one one person, one entity, one deity that he can trust when times were good and when times were bad. At the time David writes this, Israel is going through another war with the Philistines, and their lives being lost over and over and over again. Loved ones, fathers, uncles, brothers, sons are dying at the hands of the Philistines, fighting over just a little bit of territory. The psalmist writes this so that the people in difficult times can feel confident in the love of God. Many of us have dealt with shaken confidence. I can tell you that I'm going through some of that right now. I'm in a new space and I'm wondering if I have what it takes. And if you're like me, you're a perfectionist, and when you make a mistake, you feel like the world is over. And then suddenly you begin to question, can I do it? Will it be okay? Some of us are dealing with our health challenges that's shaking us to the core. And we're saying, oh gosh, another problem, another health concern. I thought I was going to be fine. What's the problem? And then something that we can all relate to. Sometimes we have times when our faith isn't as strong as we want it to be or as we need it to be. Challenges arise. And unfortunately, sometimes those challenges overwhelm us and they burden us. And we're saying to ourselves, man, God, are you listening to me? Can you hear me? I've been praying for deliverance over and over and over again. But here I am still in the midst of this calamity. Some of us have concerns that are beyond health. Some of us have financial concerns. Some of us have spiritual concerns. But what David is saying is that if your confidence is in the protector, the lover of your soul, nothing can not only separate you from his love, but there's going to be no obstacle that comes up in your life that you can't overcome. We sang it, and Miss Mabel read it. I will not be shaken. That doesn't come from our own strength. It doesn't come from our own resources. It doesn't come from our plans, but it comes from the knowledge that the person that we're in relationship with will never let us down. Sure, we will struggle. Sure, there'll be difficult times. But in the end, those times are overcomable. So let me walk around for a minute if I can. Jimmy, you just got to follow me. I'm in a mode. So, point A is a lack of confidence. And point B is where we want to be, where we're strong and we believe that God has something for us and we won't be moved. If we lose our job, we'll be fine because we have the faith. If someone gets sick, we have faith and we know that God is a healer. But the understanding of deep relationship is the key for us today, right? Now, some of us know, and some of us have somebody in our lives that we can always depend on. Show of hands, who has somebody you can depend on in your life? It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Right? No matter what our faults are, no matter what our flaws are, there's always going to be somebody or somebodies who can take care of us. But as we know, if you've been in the Christian life for a long time, there's no one who can love us and care for us like Jesus. So how do we keep the relationship with Jesus strong? How does any relationship stay strong? Well, a long time ago, in the 5th century, there was a man by the name of Augustine. And Augustine was the bishop of Hippo, which was a place in North Africa. And he wrote on relationship with God. And to paraphrase, there are 3 D's that keep any relationship strong, especially your spiritual relationship. The outside, starting with 3 and going down, is dedication. There has to be a continued push for a relationship. which means on my end, I have to do the work to ensure that this relationship is strong, so that my confidence won't be shaken, so that in difficult times, my faith won't be shaken. Dedication is 3. 2 is devotion. Now, I remember when I wrote that third love letter to that wonderful woman, who I'm not going to look at. There was something about our relationship that was distant. She had a lot of stuff going on. I, in contrast, had nothing going on. But if I wanted to make the relationship work, I had to do more. I had to show that I was committed. I had to go above and beyond what a normal friend would do just to make sure this relationship was sustainable. So dedication. The first one is the most difficult one. We talked about dedication, right? We talked about devotion, but it all starts with, who wants to guess the last D? Any biblical scholars? The first one is desire. If I don't want relationship, I'm not going to fight for it. If I am not fully committed to wanting this relationship to work, it will never be what it can be. So yes, I can be dedicated. Sure, I can go the extra mile and be devoted. But if I don't want relationship, it'll never come to pass. So how do we get to a place where we are in relationship with God to the point where whatever happens, we're fine? It starts with desire. Not just for heaven, but a desire to know who God is, a desire to study God's word, a desire to be in church, a desire to have your relationships fruitful and spiritual. Do you desire God today? How do you show that desire? I showed my desire in the love letter. The two of them got crumpled, but that's okay. I still kept going. I showed desire. How do we show desire with God? We read, we pray, we make time. When I had desire for Rose, she was the most important thing in my life, outside of God, of course. And I had to show her that. That's the devotion part. How do we show God we're devoted? Yes, we're here. We're sitting here, the hour of power. Hooray. But let me ask you this. The person that you rose your hand about, if you gave that person 1 hour a week, would that relationship still be strong? I'm going to give you an hour of my time a week, Rose. That's all I got. Because preseason NFL is starting. I got a whole lot of plans. I'm in about 3 fantasy football leagues. It's devotion. It's a continued movement toward that relationship. And above all else, it's dedication. Right? When I'm tired, do I push forward? When I'm lonely, do I push forward? When I got 10,000 things to do, do I still push forward? Or do I say, God, I'll put you on the back burner this week. God, I got something to do. I'll see you next Sunday. To be anchored like that tree planted by the water means that there's no force of nature that can break it, that can stop it. That's how strong our relationship needs to be. But it can't be without the 3 Ds. It begins with desire. God, I desire to be in relationship with you. Yes, I want to know how the Falcons look this year. But more importantly, I want to know what you have for me. I want to know what you have for my children. I want to know what you have for my grandchildren. I'm getting on in years, but I still got a lot of life left. What do you have for me now? I want to know you. And then I want to know you more than I want to know anything else. And then that desire and that devotion will lead to me, whether I'm on my hospital bed, whether I'm on my deathbed, to me and you forever. Psalm 62 is that. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my salvation. I won't be moved. Some of us are moved the second bad news happens to us. That's me sometimes. I won't even lie to you. Sometimes I have a week where Monday something bad happens, Tuesday another bad thing happens, Wednesday. By Wednesday, I'm like, oh my gosh, another thing, please. And then what do? I go inside myself. I retreat to myself. I retreat to the things that make me happy instead of running to God asking for help. Any good relationship, if you're thinking about that person that you who you rose your hand thinking about, think about the three D's in your relationship with that person. You still desire them after all these years. It doesn't have to be romantic. You want to be with your friends. I don't like my friends. I'm going to be honest with you. I could take them or leave them. Sometimes they come to my house, eat up all my food, you know, won't talk to me for weeks. Take you or leave you. But there are people who I desire. I desire to be in relationship with all of you. And I do that work because I want to be there. Starts with desire. Goes to devotion. Above all else, this relationship matters the most to me. And then dedication, no matter what goes on, I'm going to be there. And it's going to be me forever. If our relationship with God are built on those three principles, then come what may, we will be fine. So I urge you to be like David, to be a person after God's own heart. Right? And those relationships, we love to make those people happy. Birthdays, gifts, we love to go above and beyond to let that person know how much we love them. Let's let God know how much we love him today. The Bible says silver and gold, the Lord doesn't care about. The Lord doesn't care about lip service. The Lord cares about us more than anything in the world. God wants a relationship with us. Why didn't God just create Adam and Eve to do whatever he wanted to do? That would have been too easy. God gives us a choice. And God wants us to find our way to him no matter what. So my prayer is that you find yourself in stronger relationship with God. Every day with God, every day with Jesus. What's the song, Kim? Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I encourage you to go deeper in your faith today. I want you to do me a favor, and I'm closing now. I want you all to write this week. I'm not checking it, but I want you to journal this week. I want you to set aside 5 minutes, if you don't do it already. Some of y'all do it already. But I want you just to write down your thoughts. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then I want you to wake up on Sunday morning and bring those thoughts with you. I guarantee just the extra time spent with God makes all the difference. When I give Rose 5 minutes of time to watch a Hallmark movie, I tried to watch it. I tried to watch it last night. It was rough. It was really rough. These scenarios are just like mind-boggling, but the quality time means something, doesn't it? Give God some quality time this week. and record it and see what you feel like. And then come into the house of the Lord next Sunday. But remember the three D's. What are the three D's? All right. Y'all listened. I love y'all. Thank you for listening. Let us pray. The psalm begins, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. Lord, we want an unquenchable thirst for you. More than football, more than Hallmark, more than basketball and flag football games, Lord, we want you. We want to know the beauty of walking with you. We want to know the beauty of hearing you talk to us constantly all day. We want the beauty of contemplative prayer, where we just ignore everything else and we breathe and we meditate and we think about how good you are. Lord, there are so many things that vie for our attention, iPads and iPhones and this and that and Snapchat and TikTok and all this other stuff. We've never been more distracted as Christians. Never had more things vying for our time, but Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to hear the whisper in the wind through the fire and the flood and the earthquake and all the other things that go around us. Lord, our time here, our presence here shows our love for you. Lord, help that love to grow with desire, with devotion, with dedication. So every day truly can be sweeter than the day before. We need deeper relationship with you, Lord, because the earthquakes are coming, the floods are coming, the winds are coming, the storms are coming in our lives, and we're going to need to be anchored in you. So Lord, if we're going through the storm right now, remind us of your love. Remind us of your joy. Remind us of your peace. And remind us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So help us to dance in the rain with you by our side, knowing that you promised us and you are faithful and your word has never, ever returned void. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you for your access. Bless us and keep us and remind us that being a child of the King means that we have unfettered access to you. And we thank you for that access. So bless us and keep us and remind us to go forward in victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.